5 o'clock hour, Hogman and Crowder, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. Love our friends at Funky Buddha. Yep. Gonna have a little lunch one day with Ira.
We were just talking to Ira.
Yeah.
Passing out, and he was like, boy, those beers are good. I said, Ira, I know.
5 o'clock hour, Funky Buddha happy hour. Woj has not tweeted in 6 hours. It is NBA draft night. We are 2.5 hours away. Woj has not tweeted in 6 hours. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to get hot and heavy, but he has not tweeted in 6 hours. And as Solana mentioned during the update there, Crowder and I, we won our bet. We had USA -1 and 1.5. It ended during that commercial break at the top of the hour there. So USA defeats Sweden 2-0. And we are a little bit wealthier than we were at the beginning of the program. And by the way, we were talking with Solana during one of the segments about crank yankers. He had never heard of crank yankers. Yeah. And then I was telling him, yeah, Gia's looking back there. She's like, he doesn't know crank yankers? Like, figure like, and it's not like it's that old. But then we were just talking back here. Jerky Boys are probably the most legendary crank callers. And then crank yankers, I believe, is second. A whole bunch of texters texting in that Jimmy Kimmel is bringing back crank yankers, by the way. But then Crowder was telling me, who's the guy that used to say,
hey, how big a boy are you?
Now, how big a boy are you?
We looked it up.
Roy D. Mercer.
Is here, Roy D. Mercer.
I'll tell you what, you want to download some funny Gia's back there looking like. If you like crank calls, go on YouTube and search up Roy D. Mercer. How big a boy are you? Because like you were saying, he had these really intricate,
elaborate stories of his
crank
wife,
calls, yeah.
Dress getting ripped off by somebody's dog, and I need $160, or I'm gonna come down there and whoop some ass.
Right, and it was like something that happened 3 months earlier, and whatever. And the person would be like, "We're not paying you for your wife's dress," and he'd be like, "No, someone's gonna pay for this." And they'd be, "No, you come down here," and he would always say the same thing. Well, how big a boy are you?
I'm 6'3", 280 pounds.
They'd answer.
He'd always answer the same way. Hey, that's just a perfect size for an ass kicking there now, ain't it? It was pretty funny.
Really good. Crank Yankers, Jerky Boys, Roy D. Mercer. Those are the, if you had to fill out the Mount Rushmore of crank callers, though, would be the fourth?
One of the stations down here do it.
Well, yeah, Y100, it's what do they call them, phone taps or something?
Yeah,
I forget
something
what it is,
like
but
that.
that's the Elvis Duran morning show. But on Howard Stern, Richard Christie and Sal Governale, they're on the Mount Rushmore. Yeah, Gia's giving me the thumbs up. See, Gia knows radio. Sal Governale and Richard Christie, their crank phone calls on Stern, they go on the Mount Rushmore. Frank Rizzo, somebody texts in from the Jerky Boys.
Roy Woods Jr.
Oh, from the Daily Show?
Is that
Roy Woods Jr. is on The Daily Show.
Yeah, Roy, black dude.
Yeah.
And he's out here. I think he does radio down here occasionally.
Oh, really?
Funny as hell, too.
And he does crank calls?
Yeah.
How big a boy are you?
I used to, in Gainesville, I lived in Atlanta, and I went to UF, and I used to have to drive back and forth, you know, going back home, whatever, in breaks. I would listen to Roy D. Mercer CDs for an hour.
Yeah,
hours driving.
I remember, I forget what radio station I was working at, but they sent me, you know, they would always send those promo CDs, a bunch of these Roy D. Mercer CDs, and I didn't know what it was. I remember putting it in my car, and I'm listening to it, and yeah, everyone, well, how big a boy are you?
That's the perfect size for me to come on down there now, ain't it?
We're about 2.5 hours from the NBA draft. Like I said, Woj has not tweeted anything in 6 hours, so you're not missing much of anything. We started the show this afternoon around 2 o'clock by reading a tweet from Will Manso at Local 10, who said, "The only thing I know is that no matter what happens tonight, fans will complain. It's what we do. I get it. But to me, the bottom line for the Heat is they have to eventually get a star or two sooner than later. Whatever leads to that, I'm down with the plan." We were talking about it. I mean, the Miami Heat, they are devoid of stars. And I don't think that's going to change tonight. And I don't think it's going to change this offseason.
They said a lot of players are going to move tonight, though.
But they don't have assets. Like, they don't have – they want to get rid of contracts.
Yeah.
So no one's going to move. Like, you think Chris Paul, is there any chance Chris Paul gets traded? No one can absorb that contract, right?
That contract is stupid. What is $120 million damn near over the next
3 years? Yeah,
it was
like 35, 40, and 42 over the next 3 years, and he's going to be 37 years old in the third year of that?
That's too high.
I don't know what's going to happen tonight. There will be some action tonight, but I just don't see how the Heat could participate in any of it. There will be action. Yes, Solana. He lit up.
I heard.
And Jack. Jack.
And I said in the first segment, I hope it happens. I hope it's more movement than just Zion, RJ, Jay Morant, then whoever else comes.
Well, the first three picks are, I believe, set in stone.
I've heard CP3 can move tonight, which I doubt, but Kevin Love, Courtney Lee, Steven Adams. Like, I want to see some of that. I want the end of this night to be 15 players on different
teams.
The
whole NBA feels different.
That's what I want.
The only problem with that is what I'm telling you, though. The whole NBA is going to feel different except for the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah, everybody's dancing on the – we sitting in the bleachers. Right. But I still want to watch the dance.
Yeah, it's funny to me. Like, there's just – I just don't think there's a chance of movement, but you never know. Heat have surprised us before, and maybe they will surprise us again.
Waiters, James Johnson. What were those other contracts?
Would that be –
stretch of contracts.
Would that be draft night success to you? If they were able to unload a contract – even if it's an expiring contract like Hassan, if they were able to unload tonight – Hassan or James Johnson, Deion Waiters. If they were able to unload a contract, would that be a draft night success?
Yes.
Even though it doesn't help you this season.
It helps the future. And those guys, I don't think that I not one time last year did I yell any of those guys' names watching the Heat game.
Right.
Like I would be, you know, honestly, I wouldn't say upset. But I wouldn't be happy if they get rid of a puppy. They get rid of Justice or Bam or Jay Rich. I'd be like, why? There's not a lot of money. You know, they're building blocks. But if they get rid of some of those old fellas, no problem out of me.
I used to love
Karate Man when Karate Man was playing basketball.
James Johnson.
Now Karate Man forgot how to play basketball.
But
I'm not with it.
Even if it's at the expense of giving up the 13th pick? Like, even if they have to package that 13th pick with Hassan in order to get someone to take that contract?
Yes.
You're okay with it?
Yes, because we have to. Everything is moving towards next offseason or, like George Sedano said, 2021. Let's not mess that up.
If you miss Sedano out with us at 4 o'clock today, Heat fans, he told you, you got to be patient because he's saying don't even worry about 2020. It's all about 2021. Like, he's like, hey, you got to be patient. But that just means more seasons devoid of stars.
And I'm not even sure if 2021 is as realistic as most people expect. I think this really will be a very long process. That's why I've been saying, just stay flexible. Like, you never know what pieces are going to fall.
Well,
just stay flexible.
The problem, though, when you say it's going to be a long process, it's already been long. Like, LeBron didn't leave a season ago. You know, like,
yeah, what is 4 years?
Right. But they messed up. Right. Like, I think it's fair to say they messed up with the James Johnson contract, with the Deion contract.
Right. But what are you saying? Because they messed up, start the clock now. Like,
no,
it starts.
No,
I'll start the clock when they messed up 4 seasons ago or whatever it was. Like,
it was 4 seasons ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll be talking about before they could really. And again, now you're seeing fortunes change in an instant in the NBA, right? All of a sudden, Utah is a completely different team with that backcourt now with Mike Conley.
Yeah.
And the Lakers, they're a completely different team. But they had pieces to begin with. I mean, we're starting from scratch, right? I mean, is there anyone here that you would deem untouchable? And I'm not disrespecting Jay Rich, and I'm not disrespecting Justice or Bam or Deion Waiters or your guy Airplane Mode.
It's not just a mode on a phone.
I gotcha. Can you turn the headphones louder? I don't know what happened, but they seem to have gotten a bunch softer.
So what Solana's saying is if you don't think we can get one of those big guys in, one of those big time guys in, and this is a four or five more year rebuild. You can't give up a 13th pick because that could be a Devin Booker. That could be one of those pieces for later on down the road. If you don't expect to bring in a whale.
Well, how can you, though?
You have to build with what you got. If no whales are coming, you got to go get some fish and hope they grow.
I mean, it's kind of going to be like the Tannehill situation where you're going to blink your eyes. It's going to be 7 or 8 seasons and you're going to be like, what exactly happened here? Right? Ryan Tannehill, one playoff appearance. He didn't even quarterback. But all of a sudden, you blinked your eyes with 7 seasons and you're like, huh. That went quickly. And
writing's on the wall. Talking about 2020, 2021.
What's the stat, Solana? It's like one playoff victory in the last three seasons, something like that, or can't remember exactly what it was for the Miami Heat.
One playoff victory? No, because in the last three seasons, remember, they went to game seven of the Eastern Conference
that was
semifinals
in Toronto.
With Toronto.
Yeah.
Right?
So one playoff series.
In the last 3 years, no, I think you're right.
One playoff victory.
They lost five games to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Yeah. Two seasons ago.
It was right. It was four seasons ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the past three seasons, one playoff victory. And since LeBron left, one playoff series victory, right? I mean, that's good. I'm telling you, you can blink your eyes and it's just going to be like, ooh.
And that one game had a lot to do with Dwayne Wade still playing.
And again, by the way, I would have traded for this, knowing this in advance. Give me the four seasons with LeBron. I'd have made this trade. I'm not complaining.
When is it too much?
18 seasons.
Seriously. Because you just brought up 7 years out of Tannehill.
I mean, if I told you you're going to have the four greatest seasons in your NBA life.
The middle of everything NBA was in Miami.
Exactly. But you're going to have one full decade of irrelevance afterwards.
Hey, bro, that's a long time.
I'd make that trade, and I would do it again.
10 years?
Yep. Yep.
So you traded two championships
Four appearances in the NBA Finals. Every reporter and writer and pundit being down here every year and being the epicenter. Like, yes, still knowing. If you told me we had another six seasons left of what we went through last season without Dwayne Wade, I would say yes, I still would make that trade.
Yeah, because now you think about teams like Toronto. They got their first championship in
history. 25 years or whatever.
So can you sacrifice 10 years for two? Yep, two rings for 10 years. I'm with you. Yes, yes, I'll do it again.
Our friend Dan the Cookie Man downstairs brought us some boxes of cookies before the show today.
Delicious.
That's some good stuff. We like when Dan the Cookie Man brings us a treat.
He broke down a mental wall in my life.
That's right.
Because I wouldn't eat.
Right.
Community food.
But he individually boxes them, and he hands you a box, and he hands Solana a box and me a box. So it's a little bit different than a tray of cookies just thrown in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not eating nothing out of that kitchen downstairs.
But thank you, Dan the Cookie Man. That is the way to our heart. We appreciate it. Joe Zagacki, he is going to join us in the next segment. Now, Joe Zagacki, voice of the University of Miami Hurricanes, has watched a ton of college basketball, and
supposed to be like 10 guys out of the ACC going in the top 20.
Yeah,
he's
a guy that can speak eloquently on what Duan Hernandez might find out tonight, if he's NBA ready or not, or whether teams think he's NBA ready, and who the Heat might pick and whatnot. So, and then you remember earlier in the show we were talking about you twerking. We can ask Joe Zagacki if he ever twerks. My guess is no.
I can twerk.
No, you cannot twerk.
I can if you throw enough money up. I'll figure it out.
I don't think you can twerk.
Some bread on you?
I don't want to see it. First of all, I don't want to see it.
Seems like you want to.
I don't want to see it. But Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes, we will continue getting you ready for the NBA draft by talking some college superstars with Zagacki next.
I got a twerk game.
What?
I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it.
Radio.com.
Joe Zagacki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We'll get to him momentarily. By the way, you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe Zagacki, the voice of the Miami Hurricanes on this NBA draft night. But in the 2 o'clock hour, Crowder revealed that he's got a great twerk game.
Yeah.
And he said, if I were to, it all stemmed from, I saw some money on the floor. He's got a big pile of money. Told me he's got a twerk game. If I wanted to pay, I could see it. And my contention is that I'm not going to see a great twerk game because I don't think he's really got a twerk game, because that would mean you'd have to be practicing in front of the mirror and then believe you're fire as you make your moves. And
I know how to train. I've trained for years.
What?
I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it.
Yeah, I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it. Omar Kelly tweets, this conversation between Hockman and Crowder about a $50 bill on the floor in the studio and Crowder's twerk game and whether Hockman can pay enough to see it is magnificent. And I tweeted him back, you know he doesn't have a twerk game. You'd see his seventh torn ACL if he tried.
It's all about fast twitch muscles.
Well, Omar tweeted me back and he said, every black man has a twerk game. And I said, I'm going to have to defer to Cornbread Maxwell. So you need to write that down for the blacklist.
It's all about quick hips.
I don't think every black man has a twerk game. Do you agree with Omar on that?
Majority.
Not majority.
I say majority. Some, you know, some goofy dudes and some of them not. If you knock-kneed, it's going to be tough to twerk. But, yeah, majority, yes.
Write it down, Solana, for Cornbread Maxwell. We'll bring him on for the blacklist maybe tomorrow and find out. And, obviously, this is what I wanted to talk to Joe Zagacki about.
Joe has a twerk game.
Joe, do you have a twerk game?
I am not walking down that plank. No way, no how.
Well, I don't think you have to walk down the plank, I'm assuming you believe is the stage and the strip club, like not an actual plank on a ship. But I don't think you could do it in the bedroom for Mrs. Zagacki.
Ooh.
That would be a first, I guess. I don't know.
Leave Joe alone. Joe ain't worried about no twerking.
Not an area that I often delve into.
Who on the Miami Hurricanes broadcast team do you think has the best twerk game?
My partner's on a billboard half naked.
Oh,
so
that's true. Don Bailey Jr., yeah.
You start there.
Yeah, he's got to have a good twerk game.
Right? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's talk some NBA draft with Joe Zagacki before things go more off the rails. First of all, Dejuan Hernandez, who played for UM as Dejuan Hewell, for those people that didn't follow last season. It was kind of a lost season, but Dejuan Hewell didn't play last season. He was suspended. And so he has worked out, though, for several NBA teams. I see that there's some projections that he goes maybe in the second round. Do you think Dejuan Hernandez gets drafted tonight, and do you think he can be an NBA player?
I think it's going to require a lot of work on his part. I think probably he ends up with one of those two-way contracts. I'm not sure that he gets drafted tonight unless it's at the end of the second round because they don't have any information on him for this past season. You can have all the workouts you want, but there was no evidence of his improvement this year because he didn't play. He showed significant improvement between his freshman year and his sophomore year. He showed a variety of post moves. He improved his game facing the basket. I thought he became a more physical player in his second year. But this year, when he was going to take the big jump, nobody was able to see it. And I know he worked out in the camps. I think he did pretty well there. But I think he's probably going to end up in a decent situation, but I'm not 100% sure that he'll get drafted. I think he'll be a free agent with a two-way contract someplace and then have to work his way into the league.
One of the things, obviously, you watch a lot of ACC basketball. Any doubt in your mind that Zion Williamson is going to be an NBA superstar? We're talking like an elite player.
You know, I think he's going to be a great player. I think I do wonder about where does he fit in the NBA. And I know that when Miami got ready to play Duke, he was injured. It was after he blew the shoe out. But nonetheless, we weren't sure if he was going to play or not. So we went through the whole exercise of the scouting report on Zion. And I think one of the things that jumps out about him is he doesn't score much from outside of 5 feet from the basket. Now, maybe he doesn't have to, but 76% of his shot attempts going into the Miami game were within 5 feet of the basket. He was a 37% three-point shooter in the ACC. He has the athleticism. He's explosive. He's a dynamic player, but I still think he's going to have to work on his game, his perimeter game, and be more than just a guy that can spin on the baseline.
And, Joe, you've covered ACC basketball for a long time and a bunch of great players. Is Zion the most – like? does he jump out to you, you know, his athleticism, his game, just anything as the best ever, or do you have another player that you were more impressed in with the, in the past?
You know, I thought, and Coach L and I talked about this a couple of years ago, when Miami played Duke, and they had Brandon Ingram. I'm trying to remember if they had Ingram and Tatum on the same team. But I think that Coach L and I were talking about Ingram. At the time, we thought he was the best one-and-done player that that Mike Krzyzewski had. And so it looks like he's going to be, you know, shipped to the Pelicans. But I thought he was going to be a surefire NBA star because of his length, his size. He could shoot the three. He could rebound. He's a really difficult matchup. So I thought up until Zion, it was Ingram.
Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes, is with us. We'll stay with Duke there for a second then. R.J. Barrett, so he's probably going to end up going to the New York Knicks. And I don't know what the Knicks are going to end up with, if they end up with KD or, I guess, the long shot of Kyrie now still. But let's say it's just R.J. Barrett. Can he change a franchise on his own, or he's just going to be a piece?
I think he's just a piece. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's going to change the Knicks and turn them into – you know, what LeBron did with the Heat or the Lakers, or what he did with Cleveland. I think he's a very good piece. I think he's probably a 10-year player. I think there was a lot of consensus in the ACC that Reddish was the better player, but Barrett is the guy that likes playing more. Reddish, you know, the knock on him was he's the most athletic player, but you got to push him to play. He's got to be motivated. Barrett loves to play. He's only 200 pounds. And by the way, Barrett and Reddish, when Miami played them, they just put on a slam dunk show. Barrett is a high-volume shooter. I thought this was an interesting note with him. On that Duke squad that had Barrett, Zion, and Cam Reddish, Barrett is such a high-volume shooter. He took 180 more shot attempts than anybody else on the Duke roster. So he wants the ball, and he wants to shoot the ball a lot. He's a great kid. Loves to play, averaged 7 three-pointers per game in ACC play. But for him to be a high scorer, he's going to take a lot of shots.
We talked Zion, and then I skipped to what's going to be the number 3 pick, I'm guessing, R.J. Barrett. Let me just go back to the number 2 pick now. Ja Morant, any doubt on him?
No, I thought the only thing I have about him is, you know, a little bit of his size. But, God, you watched him in the NCAA tournament, and he made every play, and it was effortless. And I think don't underestimate what guys do in the NCAA tournament. I think that's a pretty good barometer of how guys play. That's a big stage with a lot of pressure. You know, in his case, a mid-major team going up against teams that have more talent and more depth, and he kept them in every game. He carried them in every game. I thought he was a great player, so I have no doubt, because he can score, he can handle. The way the game is being played today, with the quick passing and shooting the three, he fits right into the NBA game.
I saw a mock draft in Sports Illustrated. They had the Heat taking P.J. Washington from Kentucky, the forward. There's been some, you know, talk bandied about Bol Bol from Oregon.
Oh, don't do that.
Is there a guy that you're looking at that you think is going to be available at 13 for the Heat where you say, yeah, they should take him?
You know, I'm going to stay in the ACC, and I wouldn't be shocked if Nasir Little falls to the Heat. Now, he was like the sixth guy for Carolina, and he was the guy that was involved in the whole University of Miami Adidas thing. He was the guy that Miami was recruiting and thought they had. So maybe he ends up in Miami a different way in the NBA. But he has an NBA body. He's 6'6", 220 pounds. That dude is a man. And when he came off the bench, you went, whoa. You know, you sometimes can look at games and say, wow. And he jumped out. He's got the NBA body. He's athletic. He was a capable three-point shooter. The thing about him was at 6'6", he was a hell of a rebounder. Like all Carolina players, he preferred to attack in transition first, but he was a really good all-around player. And the NBA guys like young players. He's a one-and-done young guy, 6'6", 220 pounds. So if he's there, they would have to have a very serious look. And then a dark horse, and I don't, he'll probably be there, and I stay in the ACC, but this kid, Nafondu Cabangeli from Florida State, he too came off the bench, I think primarily because Leonard thought he would get into foul trouble, but he was instant offense, instant energy, loves to play, great range, very long wingspan, 6'10", 256 pounds. I don't know how he fits into the Heat roster, but he's going to make somebody, he's going to be a very good player for somebody. Very able and willing learner, and you know, you talk to Leonard and Stan Jones about him, and they could not have higher praise. I think he's a guy that can carry a team, and he's got a variety of moves, really tough to defend, and doesn't mind playing defense either.
What about the aforementioned Bol Bol out of Oregon? Crowder cringes every time he hears his name. You think he can be an NBA talent?
I don't know. I get concerned with those guys that are kind of just learning on the job with that, you know, they have that size. Now, they say he's got all the intangibles, and but I don't know. I didn't see a lot of him at Oregon. I just didn't see him being as a dominating player or as a polished player as some of the other guys that are mentioned around him. And I don't know. I think the last thing that he needs is another guy that's going to be soft around the boards.
And Joe, I was going to ask you that, like, when you're watching a center in college, like a Jackson Hayes out of Texas, Bol Bol, Oregon, and then Goga Bitadze, the guy out of Georgia, the big tall dude from overseas, like, do you watch them and know that their game can't translate to the league? Because that's my thing against Bol Bol. I know he has a little outside shot, but I don't know if seven-footers are really where this league is going.
I think when you, in college, you know, one of the first things that happens a lot of times if you have got a dominating center, you're going to find out they're a good passer because teams double them right away. You know, feed the ball into the post to a big guy like that. That's going to be their advantage at the college level. And then you might not have the size to match up, so you got to bring somebody over to help you get the ball out of his hands. So you find out if a guy is a willing passer, or if he gets frustrated, or you try to make him get away from their favorite moves. I know Coach L is always looking for a weakness in one of the better, you know, if they got a guy that's really good, they're trying to figure out, well, how can we make him play left-handed? And so I think it's one of the first things you look at when you see guys that size. And maybe is their game, where is their game? Some guys that are, 7 feet tall, they just look a little awkward.
How will Joe Zagacki be watching the NBA draft tonight? Is this a big big night in the Zagacki household?
Yeah, I wouldn't rank that up there in the top 10. I think I'll probably be channel surfing. I'll watch it a little bit. I might be more interested in this women's soccer game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm going to watch it because the drama. I like all the trades, as Crowder was saying when we started our show today at 2 o'clock, like the trades and the jockeying back and forth and stuff. It is fun, right? I mean, it's fun.
Well, yeah,
I guess
if there are trades.
Right.
But I don't think this is a particularly great draft. I mean, I will say.
Zion's a game changer, though, but you know he's going to go number one. So
the ACC's got like 10 guys. Just show the strength of this league. I mean, you know, if I bring it back to us, they have like 10 guys that could go in the first round or easily in the first round and in the upper part of the second round. And I think the Big Ten has one or two. We even mentioned Nikhil Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech or Kobe White from North Carolina. Those guys are going to be first-round picks. DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, he's a hell of a two-way player. He's going to be probably the fourth player picked in the draft. And he played great during the tournament and in the Final Four. So, I'll watch some of the drama to see if there are trades. But I'm probably along the lines of, especially for the Heat, what can they do to make him better now?
Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes. I'm anxiously awaiting August 24th, as I'm guessing you are too.
Yeah, I'm counting down. I'm trying to decompress a little before that.
Yeah. Crowder's getting ready to talk his smack. And
Do
I have any reason to talk smack back or nothing doing yet?
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me the other day, because they were very, very common about playing Florida, and I just said, I don't want to, like, you know, take any of the enthusiasm away, but I mentioned, can we wait until we figure out who the quarterback is? Because right now the quarterback is maybe. His name is Mr. Maybe.
That's fair.
A hell of a point, Joe.
That's
and
fair.
Mr. Maybe is not where you want to be.
All right. Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes. Go work on your twerk game.
I'll do that.
All right. There you all go. Right. Joe Zagacki.
Lower back, Joe.
Lower back. Get some lumbar support. I don't even know what that means. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back after this.
Radio.com.
Oh, are we on? Oh, there's no light in here again.
Yeah, Tree fixed it. Don't worry.
All right. Tree, the engineer, is sitting right next to me, but I didn't realize. Oh, now it's on. All right. Is that the light you're working on from down there? Huh. Look at that. Did you know you could control a light up there? from down there where he is.
No, he's in the wall.
I'm telling you, man.
We ain't got but 10 minutes left, man. Do your thing, Tree.
Adrian Wojnarowski is tweeting, ladies and gentlemen. There is action, Jack. Indiana has traded for Phoenix's TJ Warren.
Don't look at me. She wants some information on TJ.
So there you go. There you go.
This is not the movement I'm talking about. I'm talking about the big time stuff.
Tree, you're going to be flipping that light off and on while I'm talking on the air. You are throwing me off my game, man. Got a Chernobyl situation in here. And we lost Solana. There's 15 minutes left in our show, but Solana's already worried about his show at 6. So, you know, I can see we've already lost him.
I'm good.
We're riding.
Are you?
After 4 hours of your excellence, Hawk, I mean, how could I not be?
Are you? Are you good? He was just, I mean, literally 3 minutes ago. I don't even have a producer in here. Danny Quevedo's supposed to be here. No one's helping me out. But I mean, he's just ranting, and Danny Q comes walking right into the right into his side of the studio.
I told like him he walked in. I'm like, oh, DQ, rant. Just singing your praises.
No, you're throwing him under the bus.
Man, got an attitude already. So NBA draft tonight, 7:30. NHL draft tomorrow night, by the way. Got a couple of drafts back to back.
Is this crazy or is not as crazy as it seems to me? Christian Wilkinson was picked at number 13. The Dolphins.
Right, right. And the Heat have the 13th pick. Panthers have the 13th pick.
Is that weird or just fell into
it? Confluence of events. Don't know what to tell you.
And 13's a lucky number, too, now. That might mean something's turning in South Florida.
But the draft tomorrow is the NHL draft will be heard right here on AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2. Starts at 8 p.m., and then there's more coverage Saturday beginning at 1 p.m., and it's sponsored by Checkers, Old Munchin German Restaurant, Bratz, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and more. It's all at Checkers, Old Munchin German Restaurant in Pompano Beach. Can you make the headphones just a touch louder again? I don't know why they keep getting... Are you making them softer back there?
I'm not touching anything.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on back there. Tree. Crowder just pointed at Tree. I get blamed. I get blamed for being the a-hole. He's sitting here pointing at you while I'm... Are you messing with the headphones? Messing with the headphones?
I think you got to clean your ears up.
Unbelievable what we have to deal with here.
That's what I'm messing with, the light.
And that I don't understand how he's controlling the light from down there. But regardless, what will the Heat do with the 13th pick tonight? And they have the 44th pick now as well after the trade yesterday with Atlanta. So you've got a couple chances to improve the roster that needs improving. And I don't know if there's someone that people are in love with the 13th pick, but you'll find out tonight. There is going to be coverage tonight of the draft starting at 7 p.m. on this radio station. Alex Solana is going to take over at 6 o'clock and give you 1 hour lead up until our draft coverage. But I don't know if there's anybody that, you know, Heat fans covet. I haven't heard, like, there's a couple people that have been bounced around. And again, we talked about Bol Bol there with Joe Zagacki. But I don't know if is there a particular Heat fan, Alejandro, a Heat player that you're looking at that you're saying, yeah, this guy makes the, like, if they miss on this guy, they're missing out.
No, I think at that point, you pick the best player available. That's what you do.
But my thing is, the thing with Bol Bol, too, man, he's just big and goofy as hell, like just watching him. And it's funny to say his name, too. But honestly, we have a $29 million Whiteside. We have Kelly Olynyk. We just drafted Bam. Why go and get another 7-footer? Why go get another big man? It is stacked at the center. At the 4 and 5 position, we're stacked. Like, we're fighting for minutes. Now you go out and get another 7-footer? I don't want to. I'll tell you this. It's crazy. I can tell you what I do want. I can tell you what I don't want. I don't want them to draft a big man.
Is that your tree?
He said it.
I mean, the look, just the defeated. Tree was trying to be so professional in here and quiet and fixing stuff, but he didn't silence his phone. Mistake number one. And it was right after you finished talking.
Yeah.
Bloom, bling. I love me some tree. So I told you I was looking at SI. They did their mock draft. So obviously they've got Zion going number one, Ja Morant going number two, RJ Barrett going three to the New York Knicks. They've got DeAndre Hunter out of Virginia going number four to New Orleans. But that's if New Orleans even keeps the number four pick. They're certainly looking to trade that, I believe. Darius Garland, they've got going number five to Cleveland. Joe was talking about him coming out of Vanderbilt. Jarrett Culver, number six out of Texas Tech, goes to Phoenix. Again, this is Sports Illustrated, their mock draft. Coby White, guard out of North Carolina, going to the Bulls at number seven. Cam Reddish, going to the Atlanta Hawks at number eight. We get to see a lot of Duke games, obviously, being ACC fans down here. The Wizards taking Siku Nwembawia.
Yep.
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
I don't think that's it.
Demboya.
Jackson Hayes out of Texas, the center, going to Atlanta. Atlanta's got a bunch of picks. How do you pronounce the forward out of Gonzaga? Number 11, Rui
Hachimura.
Hachimura. You've done your research, huh, for your hour coming up?
I gotcha.
Look at you. Nasir Little out of North Carolina going to Charlotte, number 12. And then Sports Illustrated has the Miami Heat taking the power forward out of Kentucky, PJ Washington. What they write is Miami has several areas of need and could go a few different directions here. Speculatively, this pick could present an opportunity for the Heat to try and offload some salary, which we've talked about today, by attaching it to a contract via a trade. Otherwise, they'll pick from this next group of prospects. Miami is thought to be the absolute floor for Siku. How do you pronounce that again, Solana?
Demboya.
Demboya. And players like Washington, who they're suggesting, or Kevin Porter Jr., have come up as real options for them. I saw Ira writing about that in Ask Ira. Washington seems to have enough fans that it's easy to see him winding up anywhere in the late lottery, worst case being a soft landing spot in the teens. He's made strides skill-wise and profiles as a solid front court piece, particularly if his jump shot continues to improve. Teams view him as a relatively safe bet to be a contributor, and he's athletic and versatile enough to fit into different types of lineups. He feels like a nice fit for Miami and a solid front court partner for Bam Adebayo long term. So I've seen a bunch of NBA mock drafts, and again, you get down to pick 13. It's not obviously the spice of, you know, 1, 2, and 3 this year, and even 4. Did you do a mock draft, Solana? Like, are you that into the NBA draft?
No.
Okay. PJ Washington do anything for you for the Heat?
Nope. He's like out of Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Nah.
Bol Bol do anything for you?
None of them do. hey, Bam Adebayo didn't either, right? Bam Adebayo 2 seasons ago, the Heat picked them at, what was it, 14?
Yep.
And everybody's like, who? Like, people wanted to be mad at the Heat. And now I'd say the majority of the fan base is happy with that pick.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good. That's what you get at 13, good.
But I would say, too, because 13 is not that far down, I don't think the NBA does even close to the job the NFL does to tell people about their prospects.
Yeah, well, here's a problem with that, the one-and-dones. You don't get to know them in college basketball the way you do. Like, you follow guys in college football for at least 3 seasons.
But
you know what I mean?
I'm talking about when they declared for the NBA draft, right, and you know they're going top 20, top 25, like, we know names.
Right.
It happened recently with the draft that just passed. We knew names of guys. Every single lineman from Clemson, we knew their name.
Right.
The guard from Minnesota, we knew their name. NBA doesn't – everybody knows Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett. After that – somebody's going for.
Yeah, you throw in a Cam Reddish and a Bol Bol and
like the cool names, but I don't.
Dewan Hernandez down here, of course.
I don't think the NBA does a good job of getting their prospects out there.
Well, I will tell you, it's going to be a highly rated show tonight. There is no question in my mind, and we're going to have coverage on this radio station beginning at 7 p.m. So just a little over an hour from now. Alejandro Solana, did you want to do a little crosstalk before we? Before we wrap things up.
Oh, why are you so nervous for me? This is not my
first
show.
I'm not nervous
show.
For you. No, I'm looking forward to it. Very, very rarely will I flip on this radio station driving home. Usually I'm sports talked out, but I'm going to be locked and loaded starting at 6 p.m.
I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll give you a phone call around 6:45. See how you're feeling about the draft. See
I'm good.
Who you think the Heat will call. Will select.
Oh, you're talking to Crowder.
No, I'm talking to both of you.
Don't dare call my phone.
I'm good.
Nope.
No, everybody, listen. Alejandro Solana is coming up in just about 5 minutes. He's going to take you for an hour up until our draft coverage, and certainly worth a listen. He's been preparing for the show, and he does a very good job preparing for his radio programs. 5 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Guess that does it for us, huh? You know, on this date in 1986, Karate Kid 2 was released. Just fascinated with everything Karate Kid.
Cobra Kai, huh?
Oh, so great. Cobra Kai will never die.
Get out of here.
No mercy, Crowder. Hey, show them no mercy tonight, Alejandro. Show the listeners no mercy.
Huh?
No mercy.
Okay.
On this date, did you know this when you wore your T-shirt? On this date in 1975, Jaws was released.
Oh, I sure didn't. I do have a Jaws shirt.
You're
on.
Wearing a Jaws T-shirt. Did you see that shark that jumped up onto the boat the other day?
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's a real Jaws-type shark. And on this date in 1997, Batman and Robin was released. Who was in that one? 1997, Batman and Robin? Is that George Clooney?
Yeah, George Clooney.
Oh, yeah, when Robin was soft.
Who played Robin? Robin's always soft.
He was real soft in that
there's
Clooney
no
movie.
Hard Robin, is there? There's never a Batman and Robin where you're like, ooh, Robin.
Teen Titans Go. Robin was tough
really?
In one of those movies. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us. If you missed Joe Zagacki or Jorge Sedano, we'll have both those interviews posted at WQAM.com. Upon completion of the program, Alejandro Solana is up next. We will speak with you mañana.
Boondoggle Pootie Pie. Ordering package ready when you get there. And the last but not perfectly, honestly not least, the prices.
They're able in that Supermax to give him $50+ million more than he could get anywhere else for 5 years. And the agreement is you're going to re... It's a $50 bill on the...
That's mine. That's mine.
On the floor.
That's mine. Don't even think about sliding your little foot over.
WQAM.